And now we turn to something quite different. And I know that I have mentioned this before, but it's a real privilege to work here at Vatican Radio, also because of the chance it offers all of us here to meet and speak to so many people of different backgrounds. Just the other day, I was introduced to a beautiful, tall blonde with green eyes. She was so happy to be in the Vatican, she said, one of the first assignments of her new job. "What new job?" I asked. "And what is your assignment?" Well, it turned out that Iben Threnholm is Director of Communications for Denmark's one and only diocese, and she's here to network with Vatican officials. It sounded interesting, and she agreed to tell me more.
My name is Iben Threnholm, and I'm from Copenhagen in Denmark. I still am a theologian. I have a master's degree in theology. And after I got my degree, I started to work as a journalist, writing about the church and about spiritual things and, you know, religion and society.
But you got your master's in theology, in Lutheran theology. Yeah. It's different, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yes, it was. I mean, until I was like 30, I didn't know anything about, for instance, the Christian mystics. Because, you know, being in the Lutheran university doesn't mean that you cannot be interested in the mystics, but there is a different approach, which was very, very intellectual, very, very secular in many ways.
And Iben said, as far as she was concerned, there was just something missing.
After I got my degree, I started to write, you know, in the newspaper, and started to make TV programs. And I got more and more interested in what was faith in real life. Because, you know, I came from university and it was all the books, you know, and we had this intellectual approach. And because I became a journalist, I suddenly saw that, you know, I was commenting on, for instance, homilies. I was in a newspaper where every Sunday we went to a mass and we were writing about the mass. The service, it would be more right to say that when it is a Lutheran church. And in that time, you know, I was really searching. And when I came back from church every Sunday, I was always very unsatisfied. It was something I really didn't find that I was searching for. So I started, you know, I wanted to write a book, but I really wanted to make a quest for what is faith in real life and who is God and is God alive? Even though I was a theologian, I really said, okay, I really want to experience God. I wanted to have this God experience, not only some kind of explanation about how the world was put together. And then I started to interview people, and I got in contact with a lot of Catholics. And one of the greatest or biggest Christian mystics that is alive today. And it really had a deep impact on me. And when I came to the Catholic Church, I really had this, just to make a long story short, I had this enormous feeling of truth and presence. When I went into the room, first I did not know it was because of the tabernacle. I felt there was somebody waiting for me, and it was a very strong experience I had. And even though sometimes I just went to a church alone, I was just, you know, trying, you know, I was looking around my shoulder and saying, who's there? I mean, there was nobody. And there was this tremendous peace. And it really convinced me that the Catholic Church has this complete objective truth, which is Christ, because he's present in the church, in his mystical body. You know, I had a personal belief because I was raised in a Christian family, and I had a personal prayer life, but I never experienced this in this kind of very substantial way. I mean, this kind of presence of Christ. And suddenly it was, you know, it was very clear to me what was the communion. And as I really started to understand quite quickly what was the Catholic Church, I say, well, I really want to receive communion in this church, because this, I really thought that this was the real thing, you know. And in my journey, I asked a lot of Lutheran priests and colleagues and friends, what is the Eucharist, or the Last Supper, as it is called? And I really had a lot of different answers. But when I came to the Catholic Church, there was only one answer. It is the body of Christ. And that was really so appealing to me. I was really felt so drawn. So I decided to convert.
Before recording this interview, Iben had told me that 90% of the Danish population formerly belongs to the Evangelical Lutheran State Church. She was about to become a member of a tiny minority.
I was very nervous because I thought, okay, I am a woman and I'm a theologian. And being that in the Catholic Church, it's not easy because I cannot become a priest. And, you know, being a Catholic in Denmark is really very difficult exactly. because there is this anti-Catholicism deep in the culture. So I was quite worried about what should I do now. But since I felt this, like, yeah, I could say it was a kind of call from God that I should convert. I felt some kind of trust, confident that somehow it will work. And I mean, with my job as well. So I started, of course, after that, my conversion, to defend the Catholic Church in my columns, in my articles, when I was on TV, you know. And more they, you know, they asked me to come because they knew I was a Catholic, you know. So they wanted to have this kind of comment on, could be, you know. I even was in a kind of cultural program, kind of talk show where we were talking about movies and books that were just released. So there was one.
You were the Catholic perspective.
Yes. So it was quite easy after all because there were not so many of us in Denmark. Right. And so I didn't have any reason to fear because I actually had a lot of jobs after that.
How many Catholics are there in Denmark?
Oh, we're a very small church. We are only 36,000. There might be 50,000 because there are a lot of immigrants.
On a population of?
5 million.
Okay,
so it's like 2% or something.
Yeah, less than 2%.
It's really, really small.
And in everyday life, is Catholicism present at all? I mean, are there churches? Is religion taught in school? And if so, is Catholicism mentioned? Is it taught to the children?
No, not really, not really. But still, I mean, when the Pope is on TV, people want to watch it. I mean, and they want to see the Midnight Mass from St. Peter's, which mm-hmm. I used to comment on. And we have so many non-Catholic viewers that night because people think this, oh, it's really a St. Peter's church.
And notwithstanding what she sees as rather hostile conditions, Iben is optimistic in her newly found vocation.
Actually, I think that the church in Denmark has now a chance for a comeback because you have a lot of people that are without any kind of spiritual background. And they're really searching in my generation. And they have not been taught anything about Christianity or religion in general. So they could be Muslims, they could be Catholics, they could be Buddhists, they could be everything. I mean, it's just what is most appealing to them.
So there's a spiritual void, you're saying.
Yeah, there is. And people in Denmark, you know, they're really, many people are very interested in spiritual things, spiritual matters. And also what is the church and things like that. So I think now, and that's, you know, part of my job now, is really to open the church and see, to give people what they really are craving for.
So tell me about your job. Why are you here today?
I'm here on a small study tour because since there was nobody before me in my job, there was nobody. The press officer for the Catholic Diocese in Denmark. And I am sort of media advisor and media advisor for the bishop as well. Mm-hmm. And I have to try to make, you know, public relations. And so I really think it's very important now to open up the church. Because even though I was a theologian, I did not know anything about this kind of richness of spirituality that we have in the Catholic Church. In many ways, I think that the mystical theology, the mystics, is really the answer to the modern world. Even being a theologian myself, I did not know that the church has this treasury of spirituality. You know, I was already a Christian, but if you're not even a Christian, how could you know? So it is really the task of the church now to try to connect to people's daily lives. You know, also on a very practical level, because, I mean, you can go for confession, you can go for adoration, you can have a spiritual director. You know, you have all these possibilities, which was part of my conversion as well, because I saw I could not go for confession in the Lutheran church. I could not have a spiritual director. Yeah, I could, but it's not the tradition. Mm-hmm. And I could not go for Mass every day. So we have a lot of things we can do. We can pray the rosary. You really have a lot of tools.
Iben spoke to me at length about the effects of secularism in her country, where people, she says, are stressed, over-anxious, suffer spiritual emptiness, and are generally deprived of joy. But she's optimistic because she believes the church has what they need to quench their thirst, if only it manages to reach them.
I have a hope and a really strong belief that the church will rise again. Many people see this time as a sort of defeat for the church, and now Christianity is over. And some days you can think, where is this all going to end? But I'm really sure that God will revive His church again. And I always think about what the old Pope said, have no fear. Because there's so many things in our society that makes us fearful. So I think it's very good to keep in mind, have no fear.